Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk about the question, what should we do about suffering? Most Christians writing about suffering, myself included, deal with the question, why do we have suffering? I wrote about it in my Moody Press book, Answering the Tough Ones. There I suggested that the only way to prevent suffering is to eliminate human free will, which eliminates the possibility of love. We are suffering because we live in a cursed cosmos because we chose and our original parents chose to disobey God. But most Christian analysis of suffering, including mine, does not deal with the question, what should we do about it? And I thought that question was worth some consideration. First, I'd like to look at the answer of two of today's major philosophies, atheism and progressivism. First, I'd like to look at what atheism says about suffering. There are two kinds of atheists: naturalists, who believe that there's nothing but matter and energy of the universe, of the material universe, and second, those who believe suffering eliminates the possibility of a good God. I'll only consider the last one here. The atheists tell us that a good God would not allow the suffering we experience. Therefore, no such God exists. The argument goes like this. Number one, the world is full of suffering. Number two, if God was good, he would eliminate suffering. Number three, suffering is not eliminated. Therefore, either God is not good or he does not exist. God would be, by definition, good. Therefore, God does not exist. There are three observations I'd like to make about the atheist reasoning. First, the atheist logic would be nullified if we simply added the word yet to point number three. God has not eliminated suffering yet. Second, atheists have no moral absolutes. So where do they get the idea that something is good or bad? Without morality, they can, like animals, observe that suffering exists, but cannot conclude it that it's good or bad. To say suffering or God is bad, they must borrow the morality of a biblical worldview. And third, without any exception I'm aware of, atheists believe in evolution, but their logic also eliminates evolution. Let's use the same argument they use against a belief in God. Number one, the world's full of suffering. Number two, if evolution was good, it would eliminate suffering. Three, suffering is not eliminated. Therefore, either evolution is not good or it does not exist. Evolution, by definition, is good. Therefore, evolution does not exist. But we should notice that in all this, the atheist has done nothing to eliminate suffering. Atheism only eliminates God, not suffering. If evolution is how everything got here, then it causes tremendous suffering. It should either be hated or declared non-existent. The most recent answer to suffering is progressivism. The liberal answer to what should we do about suffering is to put our hope in progressive morality and technology. Morally, we should accept, that is, love, everyone, such as those who promote abortion, feminism, destruction of the family, teaching LGBTQ to young children. We should also put our hope in the progress of technology. Things like medical advances and artificial intelligence. But moral and theological progress, in quotes, does not seem to reduce suffering. CBS News reported nearly 50,000 Americans died of suicide in 2022. The U.S. Census of Disease Control Prevention reported the number of suicide deaths increased by 5% in 2021, and then further increased by another 2.6% in 2022. Gallup reported this about deception, the depression. The percentage of U.S. adults who report having been diagnosed with depression at some point in their lifetime has reached 29%. It certainly does not seem like taking God out of schools and homes and society and replacing it with progressivism reduces suffering. To hope in suffering seems a poor answer to the question, what should we do about suffering? Now I'd like to look at what the Bible says about suffering. The Bible takes suffering head on, literally, graphically, with no modifications or apologies. Let's consider three predominant biblical examples, Job, David, and Jesus. First, consider Job. The book of Job is a manual on suffering, and if Job was written near the time it occurred, about the time or a little after Abraham, a little after 2000 BC, then it's the earliest book of the Bible. So the first thing God revealed in the form of literature was an example of suffering. Job lost his children, his wealth, his health, all because of a confrontation between God and Satan, about which Job was never informed. Job and his friends tried to figure out why God was causing Job's suffering. The consensus was that Job did something wrong, and he was being punished. Job agreed in principle, but he did not know what he'd done that was wrong. So he wanted an explanation from God. In the end of the book, Job got his desired audience with God. Instead of explaining anything about Job's suffering, God asked Job some questions like, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Have you ever in your life commanded the morning? Where's the way to the dwelling of light? Who's put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind? Can you draw out the Leviathan with a fishhook or press down his tongue with a cord? Not knowing any of the answers, Job responded, behold, I'm insignificant, and what can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth, and I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Why we are suffering seems to be none of our business. God gave Job no reason for his suffering. Job's answer was to trust an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, just, eternal, sovereign, infinite, unchanging, holy God who is good. Second, consider David. Although David suffered from his own sin, much of his suffering came from his enemies. Saul tried repeatedly to kill David. His own son led a rebellion against him. Those who he helped lied to him, and those who hated him cursed him. David's suffering is best expressed in Psalm 22, 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Did God ever answer David's request for relief? Not that we know of. But in the midst of all of this suffering, before he was relieved of any of it, David added this, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and you delivered. God never told David why he was suffering. David did not try to explain his suffering. He did not trivialize his suffering. He actually paraded it before all of Israel in the form of a song of Psalm 22. What David did with his suffering was to trust an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, just, eternal, sovereign, infinite, unchanging, holy God, who is good. Third, consider Jesus. The author of Hebrews put it, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was the divine Son of God in the flesh. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that's come into being. The Son of God created the universe. John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. That universe was also cursed by God into suffering because of Adam's sin. Then the Creator, who knew no sin, immersed himself into that suffering. Jesus experienced shame, ridicule, rejection, persecution, bereavement, betrayal, mockery, scourging, and a torturous death on a Roman cross. In agony, Jesus repeated David's cry of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But when he was about to die, the last thing Jesus said on the cross was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What God the Son did in the midst of his suffering was not to eliminate it, but to trust his Father, an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, good, just, eternal, sovereign, infinite, unchanging, holy God who is good. The Beyond Questions website has this significant comment, quote, when asked about how much God cares about the problem of suffering, the Christian God can only point to the cross and say, that much, close quote. What about the future? Does the Bible say that God will end all suffering in the future? No, it doesn't. The Bible says God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God will end all suffering for those who receive Christ as their Savior, but he'll intensify suffering for those who reject him, those who continue in their sin. In conclusion, the answer is to trust an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, just, eternal, sovereign, infinite, unchanging, holy God who is good. But only biblical Christianity has a God that is good that they can trust. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with additional references is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.